Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACATA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is November 7th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America, and I welcome everyone to the show this evening. We host the show every week and have been doing it for several years now, and it is our pleasure to have the leader of this very ancient teaching with us for every show. And the leader's name is Sri Kadavji. Sri Kadavji is the 973rd living Srosha master. He's known as Mahaji, and he has been the Mahaji for 27 years now. I think I have the timing wrong. My math and my internal math clock wasn't working right. Sri Kadavji, welcome to the show, and correct me on that number. You've been the leader of this very, very ancient teachings for how many years now?
That was correct. It's 27 years. It actually 27 years in October. So
okay, fabulous. Mm-hmm. How did you become the leader of this teaching? Because as I know, this is an unbroken line of spiritual masters. How is it that you came to get what we call the Yasi Prabhava, the Rod of Power? How did that arise for you, if I might ask?
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, it takes many years and actually several lifetimes of training. You have to have a lot of skill to be in a position. It's not just something that someone makes up, because the Mahaji has to be a skilled lecturer, writer, reader, and somewhat of a scholar in terms of at that time when there has to be a certain level of skill. Presently, since there needs to be a formidable aspect of writing, then that particular teacher is a good writer, as you know. And therefore, people can see through these false teachers that are about that don't have those skills, and a lot of them have ghostwriters and things of that nature. So there's a high level of training that goes into the position to carry as the first representative of the Supreme Deity or God, which is the Akshara in Akita. And Mahaji is not a god, but it is a representative thereof. So therefore, there has to be a high level of training that goes into this. Okay. So having said that, my training had come to fruition in the Paul Twitchell, who was a predecessor of mine, who made a prediction in 1971 of my mastery in a book called The Illuminated Way Letters that was written by him and published by the Illuminated Press, which was an Eckankar publishing. And they actually shut that publishing down because they didn't want that information out to the public. So there is proof of it. However, it's somewhat metaphorical and has some element of interpretation. They didn't want any of that to even come to light or continue to be published. Having said all that, the lineage is always intact with a succession of living Srosha masters of the time, whether they teach the teaching public or whether it's non-public. And most often in history, it's non-public, because it's considered a secret teaching. Even when we're public, it's secret. And that paradox or the dichotomy is simply explained that only 1% presently of the population has the eyes to hear and the eyes to see and the ears to hear the words and to understand it. So therefore, by comparison to what's secret, it remains secret. It's an interesting dichotomy. But we also are the only ones that can really explain that, because most people say, well, if you make something public, it's not a secret any longer, but we make it public and it's still people are unaware of it. So there's a grand irony in that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. But it's those people are around, they will find the path eventually.
Well, the ready souls, the 1 in 100, but not, mm-hmm. but not any. The most that in each sort of area, location, or a mapping in a close proximity can have 10% of a population, but it goes in increments of 1%. But these are really more advanced discussions, organizational things, and the what we talk about on this week's show are the basic fundamentals of the path of ACTA, because we really only have 30 minutes to explain that. So what we want to talk about is really what is the essence of man in terms of this, what we call the soul, which is the light and sound within one. And that light and sound is the what individuals are interested in getting that liberated from the lower areas we call the lower worlds, which are the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. That is where soul knows that it wants to be free of, all right? And that is what we offer in ACTA, is this knowing this freedom that as I said a minute ago, the ready soul who knows that the path of ACTA is the high path, the only path that can give them liberation, and then they feverishly seek it when it's public. But they don't always make it. I mean, that's another paradoxical situation of public presentation. The ready souls are there, but like anything else, it's chronological. But I say usually what takes place, if you're a ready soul now and haven't heard of the path or can't get to the path, if you don't make it in this lifetime, probably the next one or forthwith, closely behind, you should be able to get there. I'm saying that because I don't know for sure. But there is somewhat of an irony. It doesn't mean that everybody that's ready, Leslie, now, is going to get to the path now. Okay, so that probably is the clearest explanation you'll hear of that kind of a grand irony of the fact. Mm-hmm. For instance, since we only have a couple thousand people now, that's not the 75 million ready souls that are on the earth plane presently. All right. Albeit, we do make every effort to find the ready soul, just like we give these talks each week to do so. And that's why we give the public presentation, to offer to that soul, again, ready soul, who can take the next step to spiritual liberation on the fifth region. I said the four lower planes, and then the fifth plane is the plane of spiritual liberation, which is keenly important to that particular soul that is yearning and seeking to get there. I mean, all souls are seeking to get there, but they're not all going to make it, as I said before. So the one who's listening tonight, who has the opportunity to hear the words of the living Sorosha Master, may be a ready soul, and I recommend to step upon the path. Again, we've said many times before on these shows that there's no money commitment, so it's a free opportunity to fill out an application on the website at ACTA.com, and then once one makes that commitment, then they stop making karma. That's the most important part of the path, is the first step of liberation as the essence of soul, that sound current that everyone can hear if they listen for it. And it's like a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that people can hear on a constant basis. And then once one tunes into that essence, they travel back to the soul plane. In one sense of the word, they're already there when they're listening to it. But that, to maintain it, is the whole idea, is to try to maintain that sound current. And we understand that in these lower areas, there's many distractions. And then what we do is to try to eliminate the distractions, that are in the way of soul in terms of this liberation. And that's the clear path or the clear channel to get back and negotiate the lower arenas. So maybe you'd like to talk about the lower worlds a little bit, explain each one of the four lower planes, Leslie, if you would.
Sure. In the lower worlds, we have two aspects of the Sarosha, the spirit that flows from the Godhead. And in the lower world, there's a positive and negative aspect, whereas in the higher worlds, it's all pure positive spirit. There's no matter, energy, space, or time in the higher worlds. But in the lower worlds, when you get below what Sri Kadavji just mentioned a couple minutes ago about the soul plane being the plane of self-realization, when you get below that plane, the Sarosha splits off into both the positive and negative, into the worlds of duality. And everything has its opposite in the lower world. But what happens, it starts out and there's more spirit that's intermingled with the negative, but the further that you go towards the physical plane, which is where we exist now, the more negativity is involved. So the etheric plane, I'm going to start from the soul plane downward to the physical plane where we exist. The etheric plane is actually part of the mental plane. It's the very top of it, and it's the source of the unconscious. And each of the planes has a color that's associated. It's sort of like the hue of the atmosphere that you can see when you're traveling on that plane. And the etheric plane is it's also the source of the primitive, but each of these planes has a sound associated with it. Here, if you're traveling on the inner and not sure where you are and you hear the buzzing of bees predominate the sound current, then you know that you're in the etheric plane. If you a little bit lower than that into the mental plane, you're going to hear the sound of running water. In the mental plane, the predominant color there is blue. And as Sri Kadavji has mentioned many times in this, in our talks, the sky is blue because people are always thinking so much. So that thought process is actually making that sky blue. Even though I know scientists will say there's a scientific explanation for that, this is the actual process by what it happened, by the way that it happens. So the mental plane, of course, is the place of analysis, of the place of thinking, and also the mental plane is where, well, religions are really sourced here on the mental plane. So when a person's in a religion, they're really not getting above that plane and their spiritual unfoldment. They're still in the lower world. This is the universal mind power. So when someone's meditating, saying they're doing transcendental meditation, they're actually on the mental plane using that word Om, which is actually from the next plane below, the causal plane. It will keep you in the lower world. So the causal plane is a plane where people can go to read their past life records, their Akashic records, if you ever heard of that. It's the color on the causal plane is more of like an ochre or coppery color. And as well, when you're on the causal plane, you might hear the tinkle of bells. But if you're using that word Om, which is so predominant these days when people do meditation classes, you're actually not getting above the causal plane. And so, and in a little bit, we'll tell you about what words you can use to get to spiritual mastery. Now, below the causal plane is the astral plane. And the astral plane is, in many parts of the astral plane, it's very vivid, the colors. And there's all kinds of crazy antics happening there in many places as well. You can see all kinds of wild parades and things going on. When people are dreaming, they're often traveling in the astral plane. When you've heard of astral projection, that's where they're going, into the astral plane. Whereas in soul travel, in Sahaji, what we espouse, you're traveling, you can go anywhere into the lower worlds or the higher worlds. You're not attached by a civil cord to your astral body, and that can be very dangerous. So Sahaji doesn't carry any danger with that. It's a very safe way to do inner travel. So the psychic psychic phenomenon really stems here on the astral plane. So when people are reading palms, reading the tarot, things like that, they're really dealing with the astral plane. And if somebody's reading your future from the astral plane, well, they're only getting a tiny little aspect of what your future can be. And it's in many cases, it's not really accurate. And, of course, if a person is going to a fortune teller, it's up to you whether you want to accept what they say about you or not. That's a very risky thing to do, to accept what they say, because then you're letting them set a mold for you. So anyway, below that is where we exist right now, the physical plane. Here we are in the earth world, and it's the lowest of all the vibrations, the densest of the vibrations. The sound on this plane is thunder, which surprisingly is the sound of spirit. And on the physical plane, you have the illusion of reality. So it is not true reality, but everyone thinks they're living a life of reality here. And this is a great training ground for soul, because there's so many difficult experiences to undertake here to hone soul to get back into the spiritual worlds, into the higher spiritual worlds, and that's why the training takes place on this level. Sri Kanaji, is there anything you wanted to add to my brief description?
Well, I want to thank you for that fine explanation. The addition I was going to put into that, it's that the lower worlds, we do say, as you said, is an illusion. At the same time, and we respect that illusion created by the Supreme Deity, but the idea is we want to be able to get to the balancing of it, to get to the center, so that we can get through it, as we were saying before, negotiating through these lower planes, knowing what they are, and when you are upon one of these planes in Sahaji, you know how to get to the center and to escape from it, I'll say, or to travel away from it, not staying in it. And when one gets to the path I had said earlier about their karma has ceased, and now they're living a life of dharma and working out the karma, or as I say, the resolution of karma, in order to see the images and then transcend them. What you were saying about the blue sky, the scientific aspect is simply that when you create images in the lower planes, they're created from friction, and the friction has the spectrum of colors between dark and light, and all those colors in between. And what happens is that what is filtered out the most is the blue when you think about pictures and images, and that creates lapis lazuli. So when they give the physics explanation, it's like a prism, friction of prism work upon the images of the sky and the ground and all those interplaying, and then the filtering of the blue comes through there. That's a physics explanation. But what we say is when someone thinks, it's just the exhaust. It's like an automobile has exhaust that goes out of the pipe in the back. It's the same through a chemical process. The chemical process of thought, exhaust is blue. It's really simple. And it's simple. We give simple explanation, whereas if you go to the university, people usually get out of those classes with a C average, not knowing anything about what they just learned. In ACTA, we have the simplest of the complex so that one can negotiate to gain spiritual liberation. That's the idea, is to make it so that the ready soul can arrive at the soul plane. And that's simply a matter of knowing where it is and going and towards it, proceeding towards it, and traveling through the vast lower worlds. I mean, it's a substantial amount of space that needs to be moved through. And that's why when the New Age teachings, and I want to emphasize, we're not a New Age teaching nor a religion, and we won't actually identify with New Agers or do their festivals or anything of that nature, because what they don't understand is they do talk about higher consciousness, but they don't talk about Sahaji. They don't talk about the movement in soul. Now, there are some teachings that use the phrase soul travel. We don't use that phrase. We use the word sahaji, which is the higher Sanskrit word that has a higher vibration. So when we do sahaji, then this the whole movement gains us higher consciousness, but there is an actual inner motion towards this higher plane. You have to move and see and spin towards it, if you will, because there is the idea of spirit is spiraling towards the higher plane. So people will learn about in the practice of the daily contemplation, which we hadn't stated until now. In other words, the daily practice that we recommend is a meditation like, it looks like meditation, but we use the word contemplation. And people say, why don't you call it meditation? Well, that term is really a misinterpretation of the word contemplation. And it usually has a connotation of Eastern thought. Whereas in the West, they say the word prayer. Both of these things are fine, but they're limited to the lower worlds because they're a misinterpretation of contemplation. Like the prayer is usually, there's a lot of imagery involved with your appealing or petitioning a space god, if you will, the lower god of the Kalnaranjan, who's the overlord of the lower planes, petitioning that particular god for something. Whereas in contemplation, it's a sense of allowing imagery to come in and flow out, or to travel into it and be able to be rise above it at any moment in time. In other words, it's more like an observation than a participation. Albeit when you participate, you're still observing and you're above it, I'll say. And it's actually very simple because we all do it. Anything that I'm explaining now, we all know it, but then I put an attention on it and it's like a reminder of the things we forget. And that's why it's stimulating, because as I say, truth is always very stimulating and very uplifting and enlightening at the same time. So what we talk about on the show is very enlightening, it's very uplifting, because its vibration is from the highest. It's from this ferocia, the sound current that we can actually hear and experience, because as masters, Leslie and I are these people, then we actually are speaking from the highest. So you are uplifted by every word that we say because it connects with one's own resonance or vibration within them. And even a non-ready soul at this moment in time will be raised in a state of consciousness for that moment. But it doesn't really stick, I'll say. It doesn't really stay with them. It's like seeing an open window and then the window shuts when you go away. It's only for that moment in time, which is ironical, but it's also the opportunity to raise one's state of consciousness. In other words, I can't really say who's ready. Only the individual knows when they step upon the path. And as I said before, we have about 2,000 people internationally. At the same time, our responsibility is to a much higher number, as I said. I'm not ambitious in that way. We've been public for about 27 years, you said, and we have a small following, but it has been growing in the past several years, and we're happy with that. And if you're ready, so well, just hit the click on the website, and we have an application there that you can send in to our general manager. Did you want to add anything to that, too? What's our timing like?
Well, we've got about 6 minutes left. Yeah, I do want to add that if anyone's interested in getting more information, our website is a great place to go, and that's akatha.com. And there you can download in any of the books, whether you would like to read the introductory book or any of the other books as well. There are many audios there that Sri Kadavji has given us, and it's a great place to start to get some more information. As well, if you happen to be in the Philadelphia area on November 17th, which is a Tuesday, at 6:30 p.m., you'll have the opportunity to meet Sri Kadavji. And this is not something that happens often, so please feel free to come to Philadelphia Central Library at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia, Tuesday, November 17th. And the talk is being held in room 108. So that's you're very welcome to attend that or to go to the website. Sri Kadachi, we've got about 5 minutes left. Were there any other points that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I wanted to emphasize also that the free idea is that we don't sell books also, nor seminars, or do we charge for presentations, nor take contributions or donations. In other words, there's no monetary involvement. So that holds anyone back from stepping upon the path. Plus, there's no thought of us being pitchmen or salesmen or trying to make a living from teaching ACTA, quite the contrary. And that's why we've been small for a long time. But that's not really the purpose. The purpose isn't to make a living from teaching. And I'm very happy with that because we have a pure motive, probably the purest motive of any path, because usually they always... there's always a contribution or donation, even when they give free presentations. Somewhere they'll accept a donation or contribution or charge you for discourses, things of that nature. In other words, I'm not competing with that idea. I'm just saying we're very different from that level, and there shouldn't be an issue regarding a money thing. In other words, no undertow, no thought of it. It's completely gone, and you don't even have to give it a consideration. Because some of other teachings and presentations and just the projects or whatever they're calling themselves, groups or what have you, they always are making excuses for the monetary issues. We don't have to do that. So I'm really happy about that. And it's a rather unique, I'll say, in regard to that. So it does make it a pure motivation, and we're happy to present what we consider to be the truth. And again, if one's already sold, you can get the introduction book for free online and read through that introductory book, take one's time to cogitate and think about things, and then one can get involved, as I said, by using the application online. And we're trying to set up different talks. As Leslie said, we're doing one downtown Philadelphia presently, and we try to give public presentations and do public satsangs, those are group gatherings, in the future. And they do have those around the world today. We have members in India. We have members, even members in Iran, which is kind of ironic. And so we have them all over the world presently. And therefore, that's an organizational thing. Did you want to get in there? I thought I heard it interrupt you.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yes, I did, because, you know, I promised earlier that I would mention what the word is, tell the word that we use. It's a better word to use than using the word on, and that word is hue. And that is the word off the 10th plane, the plane of spiritual mastery. And
Do we have time to do a hue chant? Would you like to try to do that?
We have 2 minutes. Basically, sit comfortably and close your eyes. Put your attention on your kisser toe, the spot between your eyebrows. Take a couple of deep breaths to relax, and it sounds like this. You. You. Barakapashad, which means may the blessings be. We recommend doing that for 30 minutes every day, and that is to balance you, to strengthen your connection with Sri Osha, the spirit, and to facilitate your spiritual unfoldment. You don't have to chant the hue the entire 30 minutes. You can do that for a few minutes and then be quiet, sitting comfortably in a quiet place with your eyes closed. So we do highly recommend that. If you do download the introductory book, which of course is free, in Chapter 3 there are various contemplation techniques, and you can experiment with them and see which one works best for you. I do thank everyone for being with us this evening. Hope you'll join us again next Saturday night. And additionally, I want to give very special thanks to Sri Kadachi. It's always a pleasure to be able to do this show with you. It is really a great joy, wherein I would be disappointed if we weren't doing the show. Sri Kadachi, we've got about 15 seconds. I'll turn it over to you to say adieu.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak of the Shad.